It's time to play King Stupid. Hello, I'm William Van Dyke, and welcome to King Stupid. It's the panel game that eats other panel games for breakfast. Mostly because it doesn't understand the basic principles of nutrition. I'm going to introduce some guests and then ask them questions and ask them to form activities and, well, can't you just wait and see what happens? I mean, why do I have to spell everything out at the start? Ooh, you're so impatient. No wonder you've got an ulcer. Anyway, let's meet the guests. I'm going to bond with all of them by playing Patter Cake. Firstly, from Fist of Fun and the Friday Night Armistice, Peter Bainham.
Hello.
Pete, let's play Patter Cake.
When Susie was a baby Susie was.
Now, Peter. Cheers. So we can get to know a bit more about you, tell us. If you're an East End gangster, what would your nickname be?
Pontius the Nails Pilot.
And what notorious pub would you drink at?
Probably La Brasserie on Chiswick High Road.
Next, from the Morwenna Banks show, obviously, Morwenna Banks.
Hello.
Morwenna. Time for Patter Cake.
Great. A sailor went to CCC to see what she could CCC.
Morwenna. If you did crimes in the East End, say, what would your name be and where would you drink?
Okay, well, I think my name, my gangster name, would be Morwenna. Sometimes I see darkness all around me and feel like I'm falling, that I don't belong, that the world's a harsh and hostile place, like a baby, newborn, blinded in the glare of a hospital light. Banks. I don't know if that would actually, you know, be frightening to people, that name, but it might just depress them a bit and they might just bury themselves under a flyover or something.
OK. Well, from the Tom Binns show, which exists only in his imagination, comedian Tom Binns.
Hello.
Tom. Patter Cake?
Windows 95 was not properly shut down. Press any key to run scan this these drives.
Tom, what would your gangster name be?
I'd be Tom Head-to-Head Binns. I wouldn't do any major crimes. I just do tapes-to-tapes for people. So, like, you could put, like, Finley Quay on one side and you can have Robbie Williams on the other. But there'd be a little bit of the last track at the end. That would be cut off a little bit. And it'd sound a bit hissy. But I'll do them for about £3 a piece, if you want that.
All right.
It'll be in Biro. I'll write in Biro what it is. But I'll try and draw in Biro the proper album cover. Of your choice.
OK, and where would you drink at the end of a hard day's violence?
I drink in the gushing head wound, which is actually a harvester.
Lastly, a comic writer who, fortunately for us, has a mouth as well, Dave Green.
Hello.
Now, I'm not going to play Patter Cake with you, Dave, because I don't think you've washed your hands. Dave, what would your villain name be, and where would you drink?
Oh, I've always wanted to be Jack the Biscuit McVitie. Because if you just push me too far, I might just snap. And I think I'd drink at the friendly, oldie-worldie charm, underscored by an ever-present threat of sudden, shocking violence.
Okay. And that makes four guests, because that was the number of chairs available. Time for our first round. Now, recently there's been a huge increase in sun, sea and sex package holidays for young people. So what I want from you is bad names for companies who provide these kind of trips. For example, Club Sorrow or Junior Saga. Dave.
Oh, I thought curfew, 18:30 p.m. And then or just IQ, 18 to 30. Which would be nice. You wouldn't be intimidated by meeting anyone smarter. Or the army.
Bringing the first two together, indeed.
Why not?
Lovely. Okay. Any others?
I thought gonorrhea. 18 to 30 times more likely to contract a sexually transmitted disease.
I've got club as near to prostitution as you can get and still be legal.
It's all that same organisation which actually exists, though, isn't it?
It's all about club 18 to 30, right, which is where you dress as characters from the 1970 series The 80 and then just have sex with somebody from Sheffield.
There's only one female character in The 18, isn't there? There's a journalist who followed them around in the first series.
There's only one female person on an 18-30 holiday.
Any ideas what you'd do on that sort of holiday?
Bungee falconry is quite fun. It's a bit mad, you get a bit lagered up and then you get a falcon on a leather glove. Then you encourage it to fly there, but it's attached to a bungee, so it's just sprung straight back down to the ground.
I had Club Med, ICLE students, which isn't little students. It works both ways, whatever you find the funniest.
I thought you could have a game called Russian Roulade. Right. We've got six sort of Marks and Spencer's salmon and cream cheese roulades, but one of them is 2 weeks out of date. And then you fire it from a gun into your head. Bookies are a bit slow at the moment, but yeah.
Is that really it? Thank you.
Russian Gillette. Six Gillette razors, one of them's dipped in hepatitis A. And they're all fired from a gun at your head.
It has to be a kind of hepatitis that they don't already have, that's the challenge.
What, on a Club 18-30 holiday, that's quite a difficult thing to do.
They're going all the way through the alphabet.
What, hepatitis G?
Yeah, we get one each year. Every April, there's a new one that comes out.
Hepatitis 98.
Yes. I'm going to wait up till midnight and try and contract it at midnight so I can get around with the latest disease.
Well, that's probably the end of that round. Pete, you can have 4 points. Tom, you can have 3 points. Moana, you can have 2 points. And Dave, you can have 1 point. Now for our science round. I want my guests to give us a tantalising glimpse of the technological age to come. I want them to take us far, far into the future. What will the world be like? In the year 2000. Now, I want you to somehow imagine quite literally months ahead in time. What sort of inventions are going to revolutionise our lives? Dave.
Oh, well, without wanting to sound like a crazy madman, I think, I mean, a lot of the standard predictions, talking hats, phones for dogs, clothes that you can eat, or in a case of science fiction becoming science fact, a kind of child's coat that, when held above their heads in an outstretched sort of V-shape, really does enable them to fly like Batman.
Tom.
Yeah, well, I've thought that in the future, there's going to be a thing called the Internet. It's basically going to be lots of computers joined together by telephone wires. And using this fantastic technology and a microphone and some speakers, you'll actually be able to talk to each other down the telephone wires from one place to another.
From different countries?
Yeah, even from different countries.
No, that could never happen. What about the language problem?
But that's against nature.
You'll also be able to send what I'm going to be calling email, which are like letters anywhere in the world.
Right. Are they like she-mails? It's just that I have this internet in which you speak.
Yeah, you do.
Pete.
Things of the future. Drugs that can sniff out dogs, I thought. So, in case, for some reason, somebody might be smuggling a dog. You've got a big block of hashish that can spot it. A horse that you can't see from the side.
Why would you want one of those?
I don't know, use it in a war or something, perhaps. alcoholic weather, I thought. Oh, yeah, I thought this would be quite good, actually. A drug that pregnant women can take to give their child a beak. A lot of women are crying out for that.
Quite breastfeeding problematic there.
Moena, what's your future invention?
Well, maybe when the bin lorries come around, they're going to be staffed by chimpanzees. There wouldn't be any advantage in this particular thing. It'd just be fun to watch. Or, I thought of, smell-o-vision, which is just like television, but you can smell the actors.
Or maybe post boxes, which have special fruit machine technology, so that when you post the letter, you could win all the letters in the postbox.
Gyros and everything.
Yeah, everything, yeah, but also the bills, so it's got a downside. Still working on it.
I'm sorry I brought the whole grisly subject out around here. I think we'll say that's the end of that round. Why not? That's the end of that round. And I think I'll give out Pointrons for that round. They're not like old points. They're much better. They've got jetpacks or something like that. So 2 Pointrons for Morwenna, 3 Pointrons for Tom, 1 Pointron for Dave, and 4 Pointrons for Peter. The next round is designed to test our panellists' hand-eye coordination. And they're going to do this by attempting to shoot an apple from my head with a bow and arrow. The apple I'm choosing is the much underrated English russet. just going to pop it on my head there. Now, Tom, would you like to fire the first arrow in your own time?
Yeah, okay.
Oh! Ah! Unlucky, Tom. No points for you. Moena, let's see if you can aim a bit higher, maybe.
OK, I'll give it a try.
It's harder than it looks, isn't it? I'll just tie that there and stem it for a while. Dave Green, let's see if your archery skills... up to the... Look, just hit the apple, please. Oh. Ah! Ah! Can we stop this round? No one of you hasn't gone. God, give me something to stop the pain. Give me a junior Disprin.
Oh, that's better. The next round is all about safety. People sometimes need little rhymes to help them to remember what to do and what not to do. Like, every time you cross the road, always use the green cross code. Or, you might think it's ace, but don't stop a train with your face. So, do you have any more public service rhymes to help us be safe? Moena?
Stay on the level, don't summon the devil. Don't be like Diana, don't marry a spanner.
Okay, any others?
If you don't want it to look like a slinky, don't put rings around your winky. It's not exactly safety, obviously. You know, except that a child might think it's a slinky and then throw it down some stairs.
But it has happened.
Do you reckon it has happened? Yeah. I think that was just somebody's story in court.
I've got one here. Don't scald your head or burn your face to bits when this Halloween you go bobbing for chips.
When the pin comes out the end, Mr. Grenade is no longer your friend. I believe that actually is used in the armed forces.
I got one from Ulster, which is, someone else's car is fun to seize, but if you do, we'll wreck your knees.
How about, strangers can be dangerous, but statistically, you're more likely to be killed by one of your own family. Harsh facts. Harsh truth facts.
Sure what they're supposed to do with that piece of information, though.
Be suspicious. Be on their guard at all times. And, like, and then if they're having a press conference...
Get them first. Kill your parents. That's the message of that.
Radio 4 told me to kill my parents.
Remember what happened to poor old Mummy? Don't get a job as a crash test dummy.
Before we're driven round the bend, now's the time for rhymes to stop.
So that's enough. Let's have a look at the total scores so far. The total scores so far are... In fourth place with 5 points, Mr. Dave Green. In third place with 6 points, Moena Banks. In second place with 10 points, Mr. Tom Binns, and in first place at the moment with 14 points, Peter Bainham. So, Dave, you're in fourth place, which means that so far you've been very weak. I think a lot of listeners will be writing you off at this stage, but I don't think they should, because if this were a film, this would be the bit where you start fighting back and proving you've got it in you to win a panel game. Music would start. And you'd start training really hard to win. You'd do press-ups with one finger so you'd get really good at pressing buzzers. Do the press-ups now. 1, 2, 3. Right, now press the buzzer. Too slow. Press it faster. See, you can do it. Say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Say it again. I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
That chance. In the next round, I would like the panel to help solve one of the great problems of the age. And this week's problem is, how can we alleviate stress? What would the panellists recommend for a calmer life? Not that I want to put them under too much pressure to answer, but they do have to. Come on, chop chop, Dave, now.
Oh yeah, you could replace the engaged tone on the telephone with whispered compliments going, you're doing a really good job. I'm sure this person really wants to talk to you. It's just, you know, go on some other call. You could replace some cues in the post office with congas. Dancing merrily to music in their own minds.
Which is what old people in post offices do.
Pete.
Put a crow in the washing machine. It's just watch it going around fighting for its life. Very calming. And nobody will miss a crow, I tell you. It's
they're bad luck, aren't they?
They are bad luck. Well, it's an old wives' tale, it's bad luck to put a crow in your washing machine. True.
Doesn't it stain the other clothes?
Yeah, it makes them all go red. Or slightly pink.
Should only put it in with other dark birds. Yeah. Well, you haven't said things for a bit. Would you like to say something?
I enjoy Tai Chi. Because what I do is I go to the park and I watch someone doing Tai Chi and have a really good laugh.
When I get really wound up, I go for like a really long walk along the beach. Because that's the quickest way to get down the arcades.
Firemen could throw incense and aromatherapy oils on burning buildings. So that the owners would be just calmed.
Excellent. Well, personally, I keep on top of things by always carrying the little book of calm with me wherever I go. And then I can throw it at people who annoy me. That's the end of that round. I'm going to give 4 points to Tom, 3 points to Dave, 2 points to Pete, and 3 points to Moena. Now onto the riddle round. I'm going to pose you a riddle, and you'll all have one guess only, in which to solve it, and I'll ask you at the end, okay? My first is in cup, but never in spoon. My second is in cup, but never in crinkly oven chip. My third is in cup, but never in Bon Jovi. And my hole is used to contain hot beverages. You ready? No, that's probably too tough. Let's move on. Now it's time to play a round of William Van Dyke Plays Pop. Good grief. Well, I'm going to play a series of hit records with mysterious lyrics, and you have to solve the mysteries. Here's the first one. Winchester Cathedral by the New Vaudeville Band.
Winchester Cathedral, you're bringing me down. You stood and you watched us, my baby left town.
Winchester Cathedral, you're bringing me down. You stood and you watched us, and my baby left town. What was he expecting Winchester Cathedral to do? Dave, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it would have been nice if it had tried to tempt her back with an absorbing multimedia tour about historic Winchester. Or it could have just fallen on her.
I think he was expecting the doors to fly open and some massive tongue. And the priest's vestments to come out and grab his baby and pull her back in and so, like, smash her against the altar.
I heard that Mrs. Winchester Cathedral was a teacher at the local nursery, and so the singer had every right to expect her to do something about his baby leaving town. As a baby, you shouldn't leave town like that.
Unsupervised.
They know, on a bus and everything. Some of them drove, it was terrible.
They have their own minibus.
Yes, they did, and one of them smoked a pipe. Ridiculous.
All right, well, let's see what you make of this one. Gone Till November by Wycliffe Jean.
Seeing you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5, so I'll be gone.
What's till November?
Said I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone.
He can't work a 9 to 5, so he'll be gone till November. Do you think there's perhaps a compromise to be had here? Tom.
Well, I think there's trouble in this factory every time they dish out the shift. Well, it's obviously a microphone factory, because you can just about hear a guy testing them. 1, 2, 1, 2. So that works. And there's two shifts. There's the 9 to 5 shift, and I think you get an hour for lunch. And then there's the one that lasts until November. The 9 till November shift. Again, you get an hour for lunch. That's like 8 months, isn't it? It's quite a lot. Although, on the other hand, I mean, you don't know when this song was written. It could be written on the, like, the 31st of October. About 5 minutes to 5. Those blokes are, like, on a New Year's Eve, they go, I'll see you next year. Let's go to the room. Yeah, very funny.
All right. Here's another one for you to think about, by the Commodores.
You once, twice, three times a lady, and I love you.
How is it biologically possible to be 3 times a lady, Pete?
By having 6 sex changes. Although technically that makes you 4 times a man and 3 times a lady.
I thought you just 3 times the size of a normal lady. And he was being polite.
Well, maybe there's 3 in the Commodores, so maybe they've all made love to her. And that's just a really nice way of putting it. Rather than, we've all had new love, which would be the original title.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll be preventing you from listening to your favourite songs the same way you did before next week. Right, so I'm going to give Tom 4 points, Mwenna 3 points.
Thanks.
Dave 2 points, and Pete 1 point. Now, we all know and flout the 10 Commandments. But what if there were more than 10? Just say Moses hadn't run out of stone when he did. What other commandments do you think we might have had? Pete.
Thou shalt not wear an Adihash T-shirt. Or one saying, I like the Pope. The Pope smokes dope.
Anyone else?
Well, I think he could have covered them all with, don't be naughty.
If my mum had written them, it would just go, Thomas! All 10. She's like that in a very stern voice.
Most she used to go Thomas, did she go, Thomas! Thomas!
Because you only see her legs.
Thou shalt finish chiselling out all these commandments.
Thou shalt not commit murder unless it's really important that you do.
Well, yeah, I thought thou shalt not just blindly obey arbitrary rules that someone else has made up. But, you know, try and weigh up each situation according to your own conscience.
Can I suggest thou shalt not film thyself naked on the toilet in a bear mask, then send it to Zoe Ball? I could have done with that commandment, basically.
Before that trouble,
yeah.
Thou shalt not go ooh, in church when the vicar mentions the Holy Ghost.
And thou shalt not go straight into a pub after you've finished work in your work suit and then have loads of beer and then fall asleep with your mouth open on the train, dribbling drool down the side. Miss your stop and get up at Southend.
Unless it's thy birthday. Yeah.
And stop. Well done. You could have had thou shalt not use no double negatives, or thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's ops, or thy neighbour's vegetarian option. So,
See, thou shalt not lie with Michael Winner.
People need telling to do that. And that was the final round. The scores are now in, and Dave Green is in fourth place with 15 points, Moena Banks is in third place with 17 points, Peter Bainham is in second place with 19 points, and tonight's winner with 20 points is Mr. Tom Binns. He goes on to play Dynamo Kiev in the knockout stages. Now, Peter, you came second place. So that means you get the chance to take part in our big prize giveaway. And let's go for a walk over to the conveyor belt. Peter, we're going to start the conveyor belt now. Try to remember everything that you see going past. Everything you remember, you take home with you tonight. Except for the conveyor belt itself, which is least. Okay, Peter, tell me what you saw.
A man with some child in his eyes. matching his and hers buffet carriages. A painting depicting the agony of Bernard Breslau in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Help him. Anybody? Help him? Help him?
It's Jeremy Beadle's gloves.
A button with the face of the devil on it.
Yeah. Protracted legal battle between Marmite and that sound that trains make when they're stuck at Reading.
Hot pants.
Really, really someone saying the word that for the first time ever.
Fix that.
A China crisis trapped in amber.
Congratulations, Peter. What a great car boot sale you're going to have. Well, that's it for us and Western civilization. So, goodbye. King Stupid was presented by me, William Van Dyke, and featured Tom Binns, Moena Banks, Peter Bainham and Dave Green. It was written by Annie Riley and Kevin Cecil, and the producer was David Tyler. The agricultural story editor was Rowena Day, and the programme was a positive production for the BBC.